My name is Dr. Jeffrey Burke. I'm a naturopath and a master herbalist and the host of the Staying Healthy radio show. My show airs Monday through Friday from 8 to 9 a.m. I bring you the best guests in the industry and the topics that are relevant for today's health. The shows stream live at 8 a.m. And for those of you that cannot listen live, my shows are now podcast daily for on-demand downloads at my webpage, drjeffreyburke.com. The show is sponsored by Stay Healthy Health Food Store, Las Vegas's oldest independent health food retailer, now in their fourth decade in the Las Vegas Valley. They're located at 840 South Rancho Drive in the Smith Shopping Center. Go in and see what a local retailer can do for you. Great selection, the most knowledgeable staff, the highest quality products, and amazing prices. The hours of the store are Monday through Friday 9 to 7, Saturdays 9 to 6, and closed on Sunday. I'm looking forward to talking with all of you soon. Stay healthy.
Hello and welcome back to the Staying Healthy radio show. I thank you all for taking the time out of your day to stop by, tune in, and walk away with information vital to your good health. Learning the ins and outs about health and nutrition is imperative for a healthy life today. You know, we used to have plenty of time to push it down the road, but we just don't have that any longer. And we need to make sure that we are on top of our game, if you will. With it comes confusion. With it comes frustration. And trial and error sometimes doesn't always lead us down the healthiest road or the more successful journey. So I bring you the best guest in the industry, and we talk about the relevant topics every day here on my show. Tune into the show Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 in the morning for the best guest, the relevant topics, and the things that we should be talking about, and you know, the things we don't talk enough about. Of course, every day I send you to Stay Healthy Health Food Store. Stay Healthy is your one-stop, full-service location for everything health and nutrition. You'll find them on the northwest corner of Rancho and Charleston, open Monday through Friday, 9 to 7, Saturdays, 9 to 6. They're closed on Sunday. Their address, 840 South Rancho Drive. And remember, bring your questions with you. Take the time to chat with these amazing people at the store. They're so knowledgeable. The store is fully packed with the best of the best products in the industry, great prices, amazing support. And every time you go, you'll be greeted with all the information you need to make healthy, wiser, more decisive decisions about your health. Go to their webpage, leave your email address, their webpage, stayhealthylasvegas.com, and once you register your email, you'll start getting newsletters as well as great coupons and in-the-know information that will make your life better and healthier and connect you to the store. And of course, don't forget to give them a thumbs up on Facebook as well. Well, today is going to be a Q&A day for Mr. Bruce Topping, representing Garden of Life. If you're tuning in for the first time, a background on my guest. Bruce has been involved in the alternative medical community his entire life by managing health food stores, speaking for support groups, conducting seminars for Weston A. Price chapters, and being an activist for small and local agriculture. He's a consummate student of natural medicine in all of its forms, with a passion for helping people understand the controversies of diet and nutritional science. Based on his wealth of knowledge, Bruce is a very highly sought after national speaker, and he's the main speaker for Garden of Life. He's also Garden of Life's, they call him their probiotics and enzymes expert, but I think he's an expert on everything that they make. And that's why his interviews are always so fun to listen to and so educational. Bruce is also currently authoring a book on digestive health, and he's a popular guest on several radio shows, and we get the pleasure and the blessing to hear from him twice a month. How cool is that? So help me welcome my guest, Mr. Bruce Topping. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having me on today.
My pleasure. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule. I know that you're on the go and busy, and I'm feeling you. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm back out there, my friend. So I'm out there traveling around. And, you know, I got to say the funniest thing. I love to people watch when I'm in airports. And one thing I've learned is to protect my own individual environment because of the fact that there's a lot of sick people out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're exactly right. It's the airport's, it's on full display too, and you're watching people like drink cocktails at like 9 a.m. and people eating like cotton candy for breakfast type of stuff, or whatever that like Cinnabon thing is. And it is an amazing environment for people watching. And I have to say, Jeff, like, there are some airports that are starting to get more inspired with their food, you know, like like Denver has that route down, which is amazing. And there's just better quality access to food at airports all over the country. It's finally starting to slowly happen.
You know, after my shows are on, I get letters from my listeners from all over the place. And most of the time they'll come in, they'll say, Jeff, can you talk to this guest? Or Jeff, can you talk to this company that represented that you talked about today? But with you, I get Dear Bruce letters. So if you don't mind, I'd love to hit some of these today and see how many topics we can fit into the hour.
That sounds great, Jeff. Before you go there, I wanted to mention the Stay Healthy website. You know, there's always great articles there. And today kind of hit me. There was one about breastfeeding and the connection to skin problems, specifically eczema. And this is something, I mean, just adds to this repertoire of knowledge, right? There's all these studies coming out. It's like every time I look at my Google Scholar update, there's some new paper coming out about the connection between our intestines and our gut and our skin. And today on the Stay Healthy website was a really cool paper. I want to send everybody over there. If they're dealing with kids who have kind of problem skin, don't neglect the gut. So before I had to mention that on the show today because it's on the website and it's so consistent with what I am seeing personally in my own career, in my own journey, and anecdotally even down to these end consumers. I'm seeing digestive protocols, you know, healing our gut is maybe the best tool we have for skin and eczema type stuff going on. And so it's on the website. It's one of the, before we even get into Q&A, I think that's a great one for people that are dealing with those issues to make that connection.
All righty. Here's one of those Dear Bruce letters. Bruce, I heard you and Jeff on the air. It was probably about a month or so ago talking about probiotics. I went to Stay Healthy, and I had a hard time deciding between shelf-stable and refrigerated. I got one of each because I do travel, and I figured that just made good sense. Is the shelf-stable still stay accurate within the dosage? Because I've been conditioned to think refrigeration was essential.
Yeah, Jeff, you know, that's a common one that we've gotten over the years in terms of the lack of confidence. You know, there was a long time in this industry where I was among those people. I was among the group telling everybody not to buy shelf stable. I was among that cadre of people telling the consumers to only buy refrigerated bottles because I had read all these reports from third parties, you know, all these independent labs where they had bought them off the shelves at stores around the country and tested them. And boy, back in the 90s and even late 90s, it was bad. I mean, there was a lot of, like, I remember one where they didn't even have, like, half of the label claim. Like, they were claiming, I think, 14 billion cells, and it had something like 50 million. I mean, it was terrible. It barely had any cells left. And I think that people have read enough of those types of reports. They've heard enough bad press about shelf-stable probiotics that I can forgive them, right? I can totally understand why they would have that bias, that viewpoint that all shelf staples are inferior and might not meet their label claim, might not have what they say they have. But let me just explain that at Garden of Life, we really spent a lot of money and put a lot of resources into trying to tackle this issue. And what it is, it's new technology. We're essentially using better bottles. It's really not differences in the strains or the cells. The difference is in the technology that keeps these cells dormant. The whole game is keeping these cells kind of in an inanimate state. We don't want them metabolizing fuel and sugar and making all those acids and enzymes. We don't want them wearing themselves out until they get to your body. And so what we've done is we've actually made special, like, vaults. It's like a desert. I mean, if you open up the bottle, the whole housing, the entire bottle, is made out of a desiccant, meaning it absorbs moisture and slowly drops humidity. The entire bottle does that. And so inside, it's like Death Valley in there, and the cells are simply so dry that it's basically equivalent to keeping them in the freezer or in the fridge. It's keeping the cells dormant and hibernating in kind of an inanimate state, and therefore they only become animated when they go into your mouth where they hit all that warmth and moisture and maybe the cells really wake up and start metabolizing fuel. So yes, to answer the question, you don't really need to buy both. I think either one is sufficient. A lot of people like the glass bottle and just feel confident about glass and want to keep it in the fridge, and that's still a great option. Or if you're like me and you travel almost every week, or like you, Jeff, you're probably going to want that shelf-stable bottle, and it's not going to make really much difference in terms of the product effectiveness. They're both going to have the cell counts, and they're both from the same lab. We use Danisco labs. We think they're among the best. They've been doing this since the 1800s. It's all fermented in Madison, Wisconsin, so we like USA sourcing. But yeah, to the shelf-stable question, the technology's in the bottle, and we're confident that they're going to get great probiotic delivery either way they go.
Okay, now I have quite a few questions, and they have to do about your keto category.
All right.
It's Jeff, last time I heard you and Bruce talking, you spoke about keto. Keto, 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 it's everywhere, and I'm more confused now than I've ever been. I'm an Atkins person from way back, and I've been living the Atkins lifestyle, and now I've been told that I need to switch over to the keto.
Okay.
It's supposed to be an easy transition. I am totally confused. I went in to stay healthy. I picked up the Keto Fit. I picked up the keto meal. I picked up the butter powder. And I have absolutely no idea what to do with any of them.
Oh, no. That's great, Jeff. Well, let's help them out. I mean, so first off, starting from the top, the whole Atkins connection. You know, I think there's a lot of people who have never heard of the ketogenic diet. And to their ear, it sounds like this new fad thing that's like kind of an Atkins rehash. You know, like 20 years, 25 years later, Atkins is back under a new name. I think that's. That's kind of, certain people have that view, and I can understand why. The truth is that the ketogenic diet, or keto diet, came out like 100 years ago, and it was really the primary treatment for like epilepsy and seizure disorders in kids, right? This was like mainstream medicine, Mayo Clinic, John Hopkins, like that's where all this stuff started. It's way older than Atkins, actually. And Atkins is kind of a certain form of a keto diet. And it's actually higher in carbs. I mean, believe it or not, the Atkins induction phase, like this person who wrote in, they're probably familiar if they've been on the Atkins program for a long time. They're probably familiar with the different phases, right? And the first phase was called the induction phase, right, where it was pretty brutal. You had to be under 20 gram a day carbs. And then you slowly got to ratchet up your carbs, not much, but a little bit. The keto diet is actually more intense in terms of carbohydrate restriction. You know, 20 gram a day induction and maybe 35 a day on the more pronounced versions of the Atkins diet. Yeah, that's way more carbs than you get on the keto. The keto diet typically restricts carbs down to like 10, 15, sometimes even less. It's virtually a no-carb diet. And so I'll say that this person who's already been on the Atkins probably is not going to have that much trouble transitioning to full-on keto. The difference is in the amount of ketones going into the bloodstream, right? Like most people mistake ketosis, which is just the, you know, filling up your bloodstream with ketones, that's all that is. They mistake that with diabetic ketoacidosis, which is like this really scary, dangerous thing that diabetics can get that can actually kill you. And there is some relation, but it's so misleading the way it's been sort of fed to the American public. The truth is, unless you're diabetic, you really don't have anything to worry about with ketoacidosis. Ketosis, on the other hand, is good for you. It's actually what humans have been doing. The easiest way to enter ketosis is to simply miss a couple of meals, right? And you're going to burn up all your carbs, and your body's going to start burning fat. You're going to shuttle fat into the liver and burn it up. They call that beta oxidation. You're oxidizing fat, and you're turning it into fuel. And that fuel is called a ketone. And when you get enough of those ketones in your blood, it's called ketosis, right? And so what we're really getting at here is that Atkins was sort of a version of the ketogenic diet, but it is, if you've already been doing Atkins, it's not going to be very hard for you to cut the carbs down a little further. Now, what Garden of Life does is we make products, meal replacement products, that are going to make it easy to be in that ketogenic ratio without doing a bunch of meal planning. Because the truth is, Atkins and the keto diet require a lot of meal planning. You know, a lot of these books will tell you that if you fail to plan, then you basically plan to fail, right? Like, you're not going to make this work unless you actually put some effort into planning and getting out ahead of the game. You can't walk into the kitchen all hungry and being like, oh, no, I got to make something right now. That's not really going to work very often unless you have some great meal replacement products, and that's what Garden of Life does. We make Keto Fit, which I'd recommend in the morning if you're going to work out. This has all these special ingredients to really set your liver up to burn fat and tamp down some of the stress hormones made by these adrenal glands, but also kind of surge those ketones into your bloodstream to give you a rush of energy so you feel like working out. You'll kind of have like an impulse to be active. And so those meal replacements, we have the Keto Fit, or if it's at night and you don't want the caffeine, you're not going to work out, I would recommend Keto Meal. maybe at night or in the afternoon or whenever you don't want caffeine. Now, if you're making a smoothie in the afternoon or you're having coffee in the morning, you might add in butter powder. It's going to ramp up the fat and be a really clean-burning energy source to drive the ketones into your blood. Or you can try MCTs, and the MCTs actually are going to have a special feature. If you're using MCT, those medium-chain fats, well, they're such a special type of molecule that it actually turns your liver into like a little ketone engine. And you're going to be making so many ketones that the MCT actually allows you to eat a few more carbohydrates than you would otherwise and yet still be in ketosis. And that's pretty special because normally eating carbohydrates kicks you right out of ketosis. It breaks you out of the ketogenic program and you're burning sugar again pretty quickly. And so if you're doing MCT, your liver's pumping out so many ketones that it allows you a little bit of cheating room with your carbs. I mean, not a ton, but maybe up to even beyond Atkins induction. You might get up there to closer to an Atkins-style carbohydrate allowance if you're doing MCT. So I might suggest this person who's familiar with the Atkins program is doing well on that. I might suggest that they add in some MCT in the morning, and if they, you know, keep their carbohydrate value kind of close to where it's at, they're probably at like 25, 30 gram a day. And I would suggest that they may very well find that with MCT, even maintaining that type of carbohydrate intake every day, they're still likely to be in ketosis and still likely to have all these benefits in terms of energy. I mean, a lot of people feel this, Jeff. They just feel, we're getting letters all the time now, people saying, I did not know how much energy, like, this is what normal feels like? My goodness. You know, I've been feeling run down on low energy, low fuel for most of my life. We're hearing lots of people say it's like somebody cleaned the windshield and all of a sudden they're driving way better in terms of their life and their kind of productivity. So energy production, blunting hunger, really helping your nervous system. A lot of people are doing research on how ketones put tons of energy into our spinal column, into our brain. May help our immune system in our brain, which is a special part of our immune system. So there's a lot of areas in terms of neurology, and that's why our man, Dr. David Perlbutter, the neurologist we're working with at Garden of Life, has been so enthusiastic about ketogenic diet. So I'm really glad this person's doing it. I hope they keep it up. And I would suggest adding in some MCT, using the meal replacement powders for when they're haven't got a meal at the ready, and also using butter powder in their coffee or in their smoothies to ramp up the fat without affecting any of the carbs or protein value for that particular smoothie or coffee. So we make tools that are really going to put them in that ketosis range and make it easier, and also use really high-quality raw materials all along the way. That's what we do.
You know, this one is kind of along the same line as well. It says, I've been doing the keto diet for about 2 months now, and I'm using 3 or 4 of the products from Stay Healthy plus my vitamins, and I'm doing well. But the second month, somebody told me to start doing intermittent fasting with it. And they said I should be eating within a 6 to 8 hour window and then the rest and fasting on the rest of the time. And I decided to try that. I was wondering, the next time you talk with Bruce, would he talk about intermittent fasting if he think it's good or bad? Curious, because I want to get to my goal, but I want to do it the right way.
Oh, that's a great question. I love this. You know, I was actually just joking with my wife this morning. She got up and did not eat breakfast and did her workout. And we were joking about how, and you know, when we were both learning about nutrition, that was like really bad idea. You know, it was always that breakfast was the most important meal of the day, and you know, you really don't want to do that. And now I joke and say that, gosh, you know, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, unless you call it intermittent fasting. And then if you have, it's kind of a joke, but the truth is that we are finding out that there are a lot of people who do much better if they actually do some intermittent fasting, and it can look differently. But essentially, the answer to this, will it hurt me, will it help me? The answer is, it depends. And I know that's not satisfactory, but it depends on the health of your adrenal glands and your liver. It depends on hormone rhythms, your glucagon secretions, and how well, you know, some people, if they fast too long, they have like a hypoglycemic crash where their nervous system kind of gets a little bit frayed, a little damaged from a lack of fuel. It's pretty hard on them. They get kind of emotionally charged or maybe major headaches and nausea. So I'll say that if you have major reactive hypoglycemia, then missing breakfast might actually be really bad for you. However, we're learning in medicine that there are lots and lots of human beings who actually don't have major reactive hypoglycemia, meaning they can miss a meal and it's not total panic for their nervous system. But what we're actually learning is that when people miss a meal and they do intermittent fasting, and typically, you nailed it, Jeff, it's typically people will cram all their meals into an eight-hour period. That's the most typical. Like they'll eat from 11 to 7 or from noon to 8, and they'll cram all their meals into that eight-hour period. The benefit of this is actually several, but the main one is that you're taking the body's energy system and you're donating a lot more energy to the healing and repairing and fighting infections and repairing hormone receptors and reducing inflammation, right? The deal is that so much of our body's energy is just dedicated to digesting, assimilating nutrients, eliminating waste. And if we cut that off, it allows all this cleanup crew, all these cells that would normally be busy digesting and eliminating food, it allows those cells to go online, repairing and rebuilding structures and healing from all kinds of damage or traumas in our body. And so intermittent fasting, I'll tell you, I have had just mountains of feedback over this over the years. Lots of people in our company do intermittent fasting. I strive to do it several days a week myself, where I try to cram all my meals into like 11 to 7. You can still do maybe like keto coffee in the morning, you know, because that's not really going to give you any real meaningful calories. You could have tea or something like that. But you don't want to eat sugar or protein in the morning because those proteins can turn to sugar. So, yes, I would say try it. You may find that your like old chronic pain is starting to go away. Maybe your actual energy production is even better. Then it's ironic. I've had people recently, I was working with somebody who had major digestive disease, and they were going down the tubes. They couldn't gain weight. Nothing was working. And it sounded really weird when I told them to actually try intermittent fasting. This is somebody who can't gain weight. They're afraid that they're going to lose the battle for their life just through the wasting disease they have. And here I am coming in telling them to do some fasting. And it sounded really counterintuitive. It sounded like a bad idea. But it really has been one of the best tools that we have introduced in this particular person's life. They've actually started gaining weight. And that's because we're allowing their intestine to heal. Right, and I think that's kind of the deal, is that so many people are trying to heal their ankle while they're busy running a marathon every day. And it's kind of a simple parallel analogy here that going off of food for big swaths of the day frees up all the cellular energy currency to apply to all these other processes in our body. And so I think intermittent fasting can be amazing as long as you don't have major hypoglycemia blood sugar imbalances, which we should work on those. If you do have that going on, let's work on your adrenal glands. Let's work on your liver. Let's do some work on those blood sugar organs and glands, and then let's re-challenge with intermittent fasting later down the line. But I do think it can be very, very effective for all kinds of things, highly varied things, even gut problems or even helping people gain weight, ironically.
How do you address the idea of butter powder? I mean, you know, I look back at my years in the field, now 40, my over 35 years on the air, and I remember how we had to talk, that was all bad. And then we went through as a nation, no fat diets, and everybody got fatter. And then they took all the fat out of the food, replaced it with sugar. And everybody kept saying, oh, it's okay to eat this because it doesn't have any fat in it. Not reading the other labels. So everybody blew up like balloons. Now, here we are trying to watch their carbohydrates and all that stuff, and we're putting butter powder in. How does the butter powder add to the effectiveness of the keto diet?
Yeah, that's a great question. So butter is named after one of the most studied and most beneficial fats of all biology. It's called butyric acid. That's what butter is named after. And butyric acid is really special in our body. It's actually made in our colon all the time. Even if you've never eaten butter in your life, you have the same fatty acid that butter is named after. That's actually being made in your colon. And so basically, it's not fundamentally new to your body. This is something, you know, all humans who have a microbiome are producing in their colon, these fatty acids. You can get them preformed from butter, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing about butter is that it's got a lot of dense energy, right? It's a fat, so it's got all this actual energy currency, the ATP, stored in it. You can make really, really readily available ketones, so it's going to be quick to break down. it actually has special benefits for the bowel. We've learned that actually the colon cells use the same fatty acid as their primary fuel. So if you want to help heal your colon and repair the surface of the colon and the walls, the mucosal lining, the epithelium, it turns out these fatty acids, butyric acid, are actually the primary fuel for the cells to actually rebuild and repair. So there's special benefits to the bowel. There's also just the butyric acid itself going out into the bloodstream beyond the benefit to the colon. It actually gets metabolized really easily in the liver, and it's pretty much guaranteed to become a ketone just in terms of the structure of the carbon chain and the orientation of butyric acid being a four-carbon molecule, virtually guaranteed to become a ketone. So it gives you a very good, easily digested energy source, and it supports good family farms. I mean, this is another part of the story that some people don't care about, but they should. I know some people don't care about carbon emissions or topsoil or water quality or animal lifespans or any of that stuff, but we do at Garden of Life, and we really care about that. We've spent a lot of time developing dairies that can actually graze 300 days a year, that can actually help biodiversity and help reduce carbon emissions and help with microclimates all over the world. And that's something most big dairies are actually working against the human struggle and against the environmental problems. We want to be part of the solution. And so offering these dairy and whey products in the industry, not only are they great quality products that you feel good from eating and really support this whole ketogenic diet, it also supports a large blue sky mission of helping to convert all these industries all over the world to be more beneficial for social and environmental problems.
Okay, now here's a question. Do you think that the ketogenic lifestyle is a lifestyle to adopt because it's healthy? Do you think it's best to adopt it if you're trying to readjust your weight? Can it be good if you're very athletic to make you functionally healthier and stronger? Where does it fall in?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jeff. I consider it a tool, right?
Okay.
And I think, again, this is the answer. I think it depends. Right, I don't think of it as necessarily just a weight loss sort of regimen.
Okay.
I think that you really do have to do this more long term, kind of adopt this lifestyle. And I'll say the part of the contingency is how you actually go about the diet. I mean, I've met people, and I know you've met them too, that are doing the ketogenic diet in the worst way. Right, like they're not eating any plant food. They're like living on pork rinds and whipping cream, and like, you know, there's definitely, they're nailing their macros. They're hitting the amount of carbs and fat and protein. The numbers look good on paper. They're hitting those macronutrient targets, but they're not actually supporting their body with good nourishment, right? And so I'll say that I think we really have to make sure people are eating enough plant food. I think some people can go keto and do it the wrong way, where they're running into like muscle cramping and their hair's falling out and they're bonking with energy. They have no energy to walk down the hallway even. That can be because you're doing it wrong. You're eating foods that are really high in fat but don't have any minerals, don't have any fiber. Like I would say for a lot of people, they need to eat green. They need to eat, you know, non-starchy vegetables, things like broccoli and cauliflower and garlic and spinach and kale. And there's a whole list. You know, some of the summer squashes might be okay. It's certain values. We actually have kind of a keto guide that gives you a lot of recipes, you know, things where you can include a lot of plant foods into your diet and make sure you're getting all those electrolytes. Make sure you're supporting thyroid hormone conversion. Make sure you're avoiding all the pitfalls, because some people feel terrible on keto, and that may be because they're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other reason is some people actually have damaged livers, and they can't actually do fat oxidation, right? Their liver's just not capable of turning fat into fuel. And for them, they may have to just kind of reevaluate the whole strategy and heal their liver first before they start attempting this ketogenic diet. I think for athletes, that's a big controversy. Right now, there's a huge amount of interest in whether or not endurance athletes, which have traditionally been low-fat, high-carb, carb-loading style training, they're now seeing this big kind of emerging theory that maybe, in fact, high-fat, low-carb diets might actually be better for endurance bicycling and running contests. And that just flies in the face of so many trainers and what they've been thinking for the last 30 years. But we're seeing evidence. I mean, I was actually reading about Ethiopians and how they don't really eat that many carbs. And Ethiopia tends to be one of the world-class, you know, Olympian record setters in terms of all those long-distance running events. So there is a lot of evidence that for people who have blood sugar problems, that this ketogenic diet might be a tool they should stay on permanently. They're going to lower their A1Cs and have all these benefits for blood sugar scores. There's a lot of people doing it for weight loss, where it seems to genuinely improve metabolic markers. Like, we're seeing, finally, after 50 years, we're learning some great tools to actually kick up their leptin efficiency and their metabolic fire in a very fundamental way. So for weight loss, I'd say certainly for all the neurodegenerative crowd, that's probably the white hot area of keto right now, Jeff. Wouldn't you say it's all the people looking at Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and even autism and other forms of dementia and are studying how ketones may be one of the great hopes for helping to energize your brain and maybe even helping to prevent. I mean, I think we're a long way from making any claims about preventing Alzheimer's here at this current time in the research, but it does look like chronically high insulin is the number one risk, right? Chronically elevated insulin is the real trigger. And so these low-carb diets, and especially the lowest of the low-carb diets, which we call ketogenic, well, those seem like they are very plausibly, just based on the mechanisms of action, of how we know about what these cells do and how our body works, it makes a lot of sense that these keto and low-carb diets are really going to offer strong protection for our brain. So I'll say it depends, but I'd say if you're in any of those camps, trying to lose weight, trying to help your brain, trying to help your blood sugar scores, you should definitely give it a try. And make sure you're eating vegetables.
You know, interesting thing. Years ago, I interviewed Dr. Atkins quite a few times.
Cool.
And he made some things. It was really cool, you know, because I was young in the field and he was amazing. And he wrote me a really good reference that's on my webpage. But it was really cool. He said a couple things that stuck with me, and you just kind of reminded me, you know, because I think when sometimes people get given an inch, they really do take a foot. And he used to tell me, he said, the biggest problem that with my program is that people feel that because they can eat until they're full and they can eat as much as they want, they will, which means they might not lose any weight. They might not gain, but they might not lose any weight. And how everybody thinks that it's all about just protein when I want people having greens as well. And he said, and he goes, and I always want people to take a vitamin and a B vitamin as well. He said, because he goes, you're going to feel weird having just this amount of protein going on and low amount of carbs. All of a sudden your energy goes out the window and you feel tired and wrung out. And then he quoted me one time. He said, I guarantee you, now this was 25 years ago. He said, I guarantee you that we will hit a time when we are fast food carbohydrate junkies. It become the food pyramid of this country. People would rather have something fast and terrible and good tasting, and the carbohydrates will be the biggest, the complex carbs will be the, and the sugar carbs and all that will be the drug of choice.
Yeah.
Now this was 25 years ago, and look where we are.
That's amazing, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
That man was way ahead of his time, had a lot of visionary things. And you know, it's interesting. There's another guy kind of like Dr. Atkins. His name was Richard Bernstein,
this
guy from the 60s who, another one of these amazing visionaries, kind of like Dr. Atkins, who were way ahead of their time talking about the damage of high insulin and eating these highly refined sugary diets. And looking back in history, you find that that just wasn't a thing. You know, we didn't have all these highly refined foods. If you go look at bread in the ancient world, it was like, it was dense and heavy and very full of minerals and fiber. Whereas you go to the store today and buy bread, it's like fluffy. You know, if you threw it in my face, it would bounce right off.
Yeah.
You know, whereas like these old heavy German breads, it's like you could kill somebody if you threw it at their face.
True.
So it's just a lot of that food processing has really changed our food. But yeah, Dr. Atkins was right. And I think, you know, we're really seeing Dr. Bernstein and others turn out to be right. The low-carb diets, especially when you're supporting them with proper nutrition. You know, I want to mention prebiotic fiber. I think there's a lot of people out there who are doing low-carb diets who run into bowel issues.
Yep.
And for sometimes getting some prebiotic fiber, like our doctor-formulated prebiotic fiber, or we actually put it in our keto meal and keto fit, this is really going to help feed your bowel. And that's kind of a tricky thing when you're going low-carb, because you're cutting off a lot of the vegetables and fiber sources that would feed your bowel, and you have to be careful to make sure you're getting good prebiotic value. So I'll add that in. B vitamins is a really good one. I think electrolytes is really important. Make sure you're getting salt and sodium in adequate levels. Making sure you're well hydrated. But finally, prebiotics would be one I would add to this to make sure you're doing this right.
You know, and I agree. And when I try to go through those realms, I do the prebiotic fiber, but I also take like 2 tablespoons of psyllium husk every day. You know, and I mean, I literally put it in the cup, I add water to it, and I stir it until it's liquid sawdust, and I just choke it down. It's disgusting. And you drink it down, and you get a big glass of water, and you think to yourself, ugh, that was so terrible. But then, about 5 or 6 hours later, you realize why you took it.
Yeah.
And then you're thinking to yourself, whew, I'm so glad I took that today. Because otherwise, you do get bloated, you do feel heavy, and even if you're bringing in prebiotics and probiotics and enzymes, eating a lot of protein, your body will argue with you a little bit. But if you keep things moving, your body will actually be able to do it. Now, this is a question that I really want you to hit before I forget, because we'll keep talking here. Keto fit, raw fit, difference, and who's a different person for each of them?
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah, thanks for asking that. You know, I like to say that we have entered an era of knowledge now where we can finally abandon this old idea that there is one holy grail diet plan that every human being is going to lose weight on. The truth is, I think we can unassailably say at this point in the research, you know, we've had decades of this, I think we can say at this point that there is, in fact, biochemical individuality. Humans are not all the same in their metabolic machinery. And the reason I'm saying that is that there really are people who do better on low-fat, high-carb diets that are very high in fiber and very low calories. And that's kind of what raw fit, our traditional plant-based, vegan, raw fit meal replacement product. You know, raw fit has been one of our most successful products in our company's history. I have met people in wheelchairs who have lost, you know, dozens of pounds using raw fit as their meal replacement in the morning. I've met a lot of athletes who use it. It is really, it's built around plant protein. You get 28 grams of protein. It's fairly high in protein, right? But it's also very high in fiber. You're getting like over 10 grams of fiber right around there. You're getting all these special ingredients to help your liver burn fat. You know, we're actually using ashwagandha to sort of smooth out our cortisol spikes, so our adrenal hormones aren't really throwing a big monkey wrench into our fat-burning potential. And then we actually also use cinnamon and chromium in our original raw fit. So it's all about blood sugar, giving you a big bolus of protein and fiber to make you feel, you know, very full and beat back hunger. That was the idea behind our original raw fit. Now, keto fit, on the other hand, is almost the complete inverse, right? It's really very high in fat, and it's very low in carbohydrates, and it's fairly darn low in protein, too. On these keto programs, you don't want a lot of carbs, and you don't even want a lot of protein, because protein can turn to carbohydrates in our body. And so it has a few special ingredients that are different. One of them is the coffee fruit extract. Coffee fruit is not the same as coffee beans. It's like the fruit flesh. It's like the cherry that surrounds the central pit. A lot of people don't know that the pit of the cherry is kind of a close relative of coffee. And the pit would be the equivalent of the coffee bean. It's what you roast and drink in the morning. Whereas the coffee fruit, the actual flesh, most people have never even seen. It's bright and it's full of minerals and full of all these polyphenol, special antioxidant molecules. And if you blend that up with the ashwagandha, with the green coffee bean and all this butter powder and prebiotics, it makes a really special meal, like a drinkable, kind of super creamy. It's like melted ice cream, for one. All that butter makes it taste amazing. And it's really going to support ketone production, right? We're trying to turn your liver into a little oxidizing machinery that will oxidize fat and turn that fat into ketones. And we're going to give you a very specific type of fuel to get that done, and that's called Keto Fit. Whereas raw fit is really more the older paradigm of, you know, what still actually works for a lot of people. It just doesn't work for everybody. So we want to have different tools for different metabolic types that exist out there in the human species.
You know, I think the other part of this is that, you know, you hit on this is, you know, we don't all fit in the same box. We need to just throw the box away because we're trying to fit into it. And, you know, we really, it doesn't work because everybody is different and coming from a different place and different time. And, you know, I've told people before, I wait on identical twins just because they have the same genetic material and they may be identical. they live in different parts of the country. They one smokes, one doesn't, one drinks, one doesn't. One's overweight, one's underweight, one living a high life, very wealthy. The other one's trying to scrape, doing four jobs to get it together. You know, they're stressed, they're not stressed. I mean, there's so many factors, even if you're almost identically the same. You know, that's why you can't put everybody in the same box. And that's why people are either really successful, moderately successful, or not successful. That's why you keep your mind open and you ask questions until you find the one that works for you.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jeff. I mean, I always want to throw out a couple of those issues for people that might try the ketogenic diet and might get not optimal results or frankly bad results, and they're wondering why. We mentioned the liver. I mean, yeah, if your liver has elevated enzymes, that's bingo. You're not going to really do this keto program. I want to mention the thyroid. If you have major hypothyroid going on, you might feel extremely tired and run into all these hypothyroid symptoms. That's because dropping insulin can actually affect your thyroid. So know that, and that's where that might be a better candidate for raw fit as opposed to keto fit. Somebody with major thyroid issues may do better on a traditional low-fat, a high-carb, high-fiber type of paradigm. And the final one I'll mention is people who have really unmanaged stress, who have really high cortisol, who are these types of people who do, like, shift work at really intense jobs or just have crazy drama going on in their lives. That really high cortisol that comes with that type of stress tends to really be a deal-breaker for these people trying to do keto while they're undergoing all that stress. I mean, cortisol, of course, is, you know, we all know about it. It's the fight-or-flight hormone, right? It's designed to throw sugars into the cells, into the muscles, so you can run or you can fight. But that whole thing, that whole process of shooting, you know, sugar into the cells, that's exactly what we don't want to do when we're on this ketogenic program. So having chronically elevated stress responses, I think, can really, for certain people, really blunt any benefit of the ketogenic program and just kind of make them feel yucky. So I'll say thyroid, liver damage, unmanaged stress, and high cortisol. And then finally, if you're just not going to actually follow the program, right? If you're going to eat, you know, if you're going to eat high fat and eat high carb, then you shouldn't do this, right? Because that's kind of like standard American diet. Like, if you're going to go keto, you actually have to do it and be somewhat disciplined. You can't cheat a whole lot and expect any good results.
You know, the other part of this big mix is that we're learning more and more about what to do and how to do it. And we're learning when to do it. And, you know, asking questions is so important. And it's not just about grabbing something off a shelf any longer. You know, we've really, truly learned exactly what we can and can't do, but it's ever changing. So you want to continue to ask questions. And I tell people all the time, you know, there's never a bad question. Ask it.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, and this is why we like to partner with stores like Stay Healthy, right? I mean, there are so many big box stores where there's nobody there to talk to. And if there is somebody there, it's often like they don't know much. They can point you to the aisle where the product sits, but they don't know anything. And this is why we partner with stores that have been doing it for decades, you know, like Stay Healthy. It really makes a big difference when you ask the right questions. And I'll also throw out there, we do make a keto guide, right? It's going to have like a shopping guide. Mm-hmm. It's going to have days of recipes. It's going to talk about the research and kind of how to do this and what to expect. I think for people that are just getting into this and want to try the ketogenic diet, go spend a few, you know, 15, 20 minutes Googling around, getting a little lowdown on what it is. And then when you go to Stay Healthy, check out the keto guide from Garden of Life. I think we did a great job. We actually hired Rob Wolf, who's one of the main kind of gurus who's been studying this for decades. So we really did, I think, our homework and made a program that people can find accessible. We're going to give them meal replacers. We're going to give them, you know, all kinds of tools to make this easier.
Question about collagen. This says, I heard you recently talk with Bruce about the collagen from Garden of Life. I looked at the three of them, and I'm having a hard time deciding which one to go with. I have a lot of inflammation, so I think the turmeric would be good, but I also am starting to see Mother Nature tap dancing on my face, so I'm thinking about collagen with the beauty one. Do we use more than one? Can we stack them? Do we use one, maybe just the plain peptide? Once again, confused.
I know. You know, we sometimes at Garden of Life, we're trying to cater to all these different lifestyles and different types of consumers. And sometimes I think we almost can give you so many options that to the uninitiated who don't know much about this or who are kind of new to it, it can seem overwhelming. So I can sympathize here. Here's what I would say. You know, if you're looking for special benefits beyond what collagen already has. I mean, let's just say collagen, even plain collagen, without all these extra other nutrients or other herbs added in, just by itself, it has a lot of benefits. And those areas are mostly hair, skin, and nails, and also joints and intestinal surface, right? Mm-hmm. It helps your gut, it helps your joints, and it helps the hair, skin, and nail. Those are the main areas of where collagen has studied in its own right. It already has kind of some benefits that are teased out in trials. Now, we have special versions. So if you just want plain, we've got that. We've also got the beauty collagens with all the silica, biotin, and vitamin C. So if you're going for that effect of really wanting to work on more lustrous hair, or your nails are really brittle, or your skin isn't as shiny and is more sagging, more wrinkly skin than you're accustomed to, I think the beauty collagen is the strongest mix. But even if you're taking it, the beauty collagen is still going to help your intestine, right? Because it's the collagen, the amino acids are still there, and they're still at really high amounts. So I don't want anybody to think that it's like, if I buy the beauty collagen, I'm not getting any benefits for my joints or my gut. I am only getting the beauty benefits, and that's not the case. The truth is, we're highlighting and giving extra other ingredients that help support beyond what collagen does on its own. But collagen already does some good stuff on its own for your joints and for your hair and for your gut. And so I'll say that on its own right, collagen by itself is really a great one to add in. We do put a little bit of probiotics with ours to help it be digested. And we do use peptides, which I think taste a lot better and mix a lot better for people. But for us, I think either way you go, you're going to get benefits. If it's something where you already take a lot of other things, I might suggest adding in our original basic plain option, because you're probably already getting some of those other things like biotin and silica might be already becoming in your multivitamin, or you might already take another hair, skin, and nail formula, for example. But if you're not necessarily using a whole bunch of other nutrients, you're not taking a hair, skin, and nail formula, this is kind of a value-added approach. You're getting collagen, but you're also getting our entire, almost our entire hair, skin, and nail formula that we make in tablets as a standalone product. That's already here in our collagen powder. You're kind of getting two different products in one. And then the same is true for our sport, turmeric collagen. If you're an athlete or you have arthritis or something and you're looking for benefits, turmeric is something a lot of people take. We're giving you a really strong organic turmeric extract and a special chicken collagen that's been studied a lot, that's been used a lot for joint pain. And both of those two ingredients are something that a lot of people are buying independently. They're buying those as standalone products. We're just putting that into our collagen. So you're not going to go wrong either way. I'll say that I really love our turmeric collagen. That's the one I use. I think we made a home run with that. It really helps my joints. I feel I'm a pretty young guy, so I'm not dealing with it the way, I probably will be in 20 years. But it really already seems to notice. I can already tell, I'm a little tighter with my workouts. My joints feel a little just healthier. They're tighter in the socket. My range of motion is better when I'm stretching. So I'll say even as a mid-30s, late-30s guy, the sport collagen with turmeric is definitely my favorite.
Mm. Well, no, that does clear up quite a bit. And I think that, these are all really good questions. And I mean, I love my audience because, a lot of them have listened to me for a long time. And a lot of them, I've waited on them, their kids and their kids' kids, Wow. So, I've been around a long time. But what I really like is the way we get to approach information today, because it's different. We have to be aware of our surroundings and we have to listen to our bodies. We don't just get to turn up, like when the brakes are squealing, you turn up the radio. I don't have time for this right now. When your body's squealing, you don't get to you can't do what we used to do, push it down the road. We need to address it, find out what's going on under the hood, if you will.
Yeah, well put, Jeff. I agree.
I think one of the things that I've learned and just with chatting with you is you bring commentary from around the country, because you get to see all the different cross sections. When you travel and you're educating and you're talking and you're doing lectures and you're talking to people, East Coast, West Coast, middle of the country, North, South, whatever, you're able to bring a whole bunch of information. And I know that people really appreciate having you available to be able to enlighten them. And that's a good thing. I'm sure Garden of Life is extremely pleased to have you.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. Yeah, my mission is really just to give people the type of training that I wanted to get. There's so much out there that's just, I almost want to call it, kind of just gimmicks, just kind of hype, where True. People are just talking about some special trademark. And I think with Garden of Life, I actually think there's a lot of great companies making great products, and I hope that the information I give, it's not just exclusively about only one product. This is about health. This is about the larger mission of supporting the best raw materials mm-hmm. and also using them the right way so we get enough of the stuff. Like, you know, you and I have joked about probiotics out there that have 50 million cells. And it's like, they may be great cells, but gosh, that's not near enough. You need 100 of those pills to have a real serving, even for a kid. And so I think sometimes what I bring to the table is try to speak truth to power and just say, hey, look, you know, there's so much out there. It's good. What Garden of Life does is among the best, and we're really going to vet all of our suppliers and get all these kind of accreditations and get certifications and have audits done. I mean, we're a B Corp, and we're really about this. We really want to make sure that it's not just the marketing team and our flapping gums. We can really stand on all these certifications and all these different audits from all these third parties. And I think at the end of the day, the products just work, and that's what we're all here for. We're really trying to move the needle and empower health.
Well, I do appreciate it, and it's always great having you here. And thanks for taking time out of your schedule to be here today. I look forward to our next chat, and be well, and my best to your family.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. Always a pleasure to be here. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you very, very much. My guest today, Bruce Topping, representing Garden of Life. Of course, all the Garden of Life products are available at Stay Healthy Health Food Store every day. They usually average somewhere between 20 and even upwards of 35% discount, so make sure you check those labels. They are really good about having awesome prices on their products. And Garden of Life, some of the best prices anywhere. So, and they carry the whole line at Stay Healthy Health Food Store, which is really unique because not everybody carries the full line of Garden of Life, but they do at Stay Healthy Health Food Store. Stay Healthy is your one-stop full-service location for everything health and nutrition. You'll find them on the northwest corner of Rancho and Charleston. They're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 7, Saturdays, 9 to 6. They're closed on Sunday. Remember to check out their website, stayhealthylasvegas.com. It's an industry-based site, so it allows you to really get some up-to-date information all the time. Plus, they have those awesome articles right on the homepage. Now, they change those articles a lot, so every time you go there, take 5 minutes, read the articles through. It's information that's usable, relevant, and has to do with today and the things that we're looking at today and the things that we really need to be focusing on. So if you can go there a couple times a week, you know, dig through the webpage. You might just find some awesome information. On any number of topics, but read those industry articles. Enter your email address into their webpage. Become part of the Stay Healthy family. You'll start getting coupons and newsletters and information and in-the-know stuff that we need to stay on top of. So they'll do that just because you enter your email in their webpage. Also, their Facebook page has really great daily posts, and it keeps you connected to them. And you can get something from them every single day, you know, on their Facebook page. And some of it's humorous. Some of it's just very lighthearted. Some of it's extremely important. All of it is healthy, and every bit of it is going to be enlightening. So that's something they definitely do on your journey to get healthy. Because you're going to go in the store, you're going to meet the wonderful people, you're going to get to know them, you're going to feel comfortable, they give you great peace of mind, you ask your questions. Sometimes you find out that you may be heading down completely the wrong road and you're not getting results, and maybe that's why. Sometimes we fail to ask questions. Never do that. Especially when you go to Stay Healthy, because they will keep you enlightened. Their address, 840 South Rancho Drive in the Rancho Town and Country Center on the northwest corner of Rancho and Charleston. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 7, Saturdays, 9 to 6. They're closed on Sunday. Remember to tune into my show Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 in the morning, bringing you the best guest in the industry and the awesome relevant topics for today's world. And remember to go to my webpage, drjeffreyburke.com. All my shows are recorded podcast every single day, so you can actually download and listen to them when it's convenient for you. Remember to check out Garden of Life at Stay Healthy. Have a great day, and God bless.
Thank you for tuning into the Staying Healthy radio show. Remember to tune in Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 a.m. for the most up-to-date, relevant information on your health with the best guest in the industry, helping all of us to get healthy, be healthy, and stay healthy. For your convenience, podcasts of the show are now available at my website, drjeffreyburk.com. Simply click on the archive icon to make available on-demand podcast downloads. Make sure to visit Stay Healthy Health Food Store for all your nutrition needs. Stay Healthy provides reliable, responsible, relevant service every single day. I look forward to talking with all of you soon.